Welcome to What the Nostalgia Podcast, the podcast where we go back and review movies from our formative years on up to our late teens. At the end of the podcast, we ask ourselves, are we just looking at the content through rose-colored lens, or is the movie still as nostalgic as before? We're your host, Jarrell.
And I'm Jamel.
And this is What the Nostalgia. Jamel, what we got?
Today, man, the long-awaited return. It's been a minute. We have Napoleon Dynamite. This was released June 11th, 2004. It was directed by Jared Hess. For the cast, we have John Heder as Napoleon Dynamite. Efren Ramirez as Pedro. John Grease as Uncle Rico. Aaron Rule as Kip. And Tina Majorino as Dev. Now, for the box office numbers, man, to be honest, this is something I haven't seen. This is the first time I've seen something like this. For the budget, they had a $400,000 budget, and they grossed $46 million worldwide. So they made some bank off of this film.
Wow. Yeah. They definitely made that whole thing back. Hey, who knew? Who knew?
Right.
I mean, this
and
is...
You can kind of tell, though, like just from the scenery and stuff like that, that it wouldn't have cost as much as other films. Like, this was a pretty chill, you know, scenic views, you know, throughout the film. So, wasn't anything crazy going on.
Right. Hey, so, when's the last time you seen it?
To be honest, I couldn't even give you a year, a day. It's been so long since I've seen this film, man. It's been at least 10 plus years for sure. I know that for sure, but yeah, it was a nice refresher, you know, to go back to something like this. What about you?
I know I seen it back when it, you know, when it was out back then. I don't think in the movie theater, but I'm sure I've seen it since then. I'm sure I've seen it like at least two or three times. Maybe in the past decade. So okay. Yeah, I'm still familiar with it, man.
Yeah.
This was a movie that defied all all logic, basically. Somehow.
It's definitely one of those ones where it's just like it. Like, it sticks in your mind, like, for some reason, there's something odd about this film that if you're a fan of films in general, this will hold a special place in your heart, like, once you see it.
Right. So, here's my question to you. If you had to describe this movie in one word, what would it be?
Well, for anybody that's ever seen this film, and even within me and your discussions about this film, you got to see this one coming. My word for this is random. My one word is random that describes this film.
Okay. Yeah. We'll,
what you got?
Yeah, we'll have to break down the randomness of it for sure. As we go into the review. But I would have to say quirky. You know, and you know, we got quirky soundtrack to go with it. It was only right. But yeah, I would have to say it's definitely a quirky film. I feel like none of this should work. I feel like none of this should have been able to be put together and have been made and people enjoyed, but somehow again they force this thing together, and I guess the people spoke and they said, hey, we like this.
Yeah. You know. Would you say, before we get into the review, would you say this falls into a cult classic?
Oh yeah, definitely. For this sure. This is like the epitome of a cult classic. Again, something with that low of a budget. I mean, just again, another movie that I can't tell you the plot, really. I don't know.
Exactly.
I can't tell you the plot. See, I know you'll go crazy. I know you'll go crazy with this, though, because you know we be talking about stories and stuff all the time. Yeah, I know you probably use this as a template. Like, see, you can do a movie like this, and there's no plot, and you'll use this as, like, the standard of all film. I'm like, hey, this is a rare thing, all right? Let me beat that into your head.
But they showed you, man. I think you got to give... Well, to be honest, I'm not even going to say that, because in today's time, I feel like you could still make something like this and it will be even more accepted than it was then, because we'll get in that a little bit later, because I got a whole theory behind this film, you know, towards the end. So I'll speak on that a little later.
Okay, got a little theory on you? All right. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Okay, hey, you want to just go ahead and get into it, man?
Let's do it, man. Let's do it. So, from the setup of everything, our initial thoughts, you kind of can see where some of this review will be going as far as with this film, man. And for me, man, I don't know about you, but some of the first things that I noticed in this film was just the dryness of of the people, the dryness of the dialogue, just everybody, nobody seemed like really happy. You know, it was just living in this, I call it the Napoleon world. Like I, it was times I was watching this and I was like, this doesn't even seem like we're in the real world. Like they strategically created this Napoleon Dynamite world and everybody just goes with the program here. So that was something that stuck out to me, initially, was just the dryness of everything, you know, and telling in this film.
You got the dryness of the characters. You got the dryness of the land that they live in.
Right.
Look, I'm gonna say this. This is like the perfect encapsulation of a boring Midwestern town. It's like they portrayed. They did it well, I think. The portrayal of nothing. The portrayal of boring or whatever. I feel like they captured that as, you know.
You know what? That's true. I didn't even think about it that way, because a lot of people that talk about, you know, the Midwest and all that stuff, they usually say like it's just a place of like hard working people, you know, but there's really nothing to do. So it is kind of almost like they took that aspect. And I really think they over-exaggerated it just for film's purposes. But it does work. It does work for this film.
Definitely, man. You know, it's a Midwest thing, y'all. You remember that song?
Yeah.
Hey, this is, yeah, I just feel like this is what it was. I mean, I lived in the Midwest for, you know, for about 5 years. I mean, albeit I was a kid, and we was living on base, so I can't really speak to, you know, there's some major cities too, I mean, as well, of course, you know, like St. Louis and everything, but
right.
I can't really, I mean, we went to some of these smaller towns sometimes around there, around the Missouri area. I don't know exactly where, what state they were in here. It feels like they was in like Nebraska or Idaho or
I think it is Idaho.
Is
I
it?
Think it is. I think so.
It felt it. Yeah. I mean, that's just the sense that I got.
Let's just be real. I mean, I got love for anybody listening to this who may be from St. Louis. I have an uncle that lives in St. Louis, but let's be real, man. If it wasn't for Nelly, this is a random thought right now, St. Louis wouldn't be as big as it is right now. Like it would have flew under the radar, just like any other Midwest state. That's just my opinion on that.
I mean, you probably could just say the whole Midwest wouldn't have been what it was.
Well, Nelly reps the Ludo. You know, that's his main focus.
I know, but I'm going further than that. It's kind of like, you know. Like, you know, certain rappers kind of feel like they put the whole South on, even though it might just be Atlanta,
true.
You know what I'm saying?
True.
It's the same. Yeah. It was the same way. It was like everybody, the whole Nelly put the whole region of the Midwest on.
That was a big deal.
Yeah, it was. I'm telling you, I remember those days. That 1999, when Nelly, that album came out. It was like that's what we was doing. We was just on the porch.
He set the world on fire, man. That's for sure.
But at least he set the Midwest on fire, cause we was that was our thing that whole year. And I was like, yo, we got Nelly.
Yeah, I thought y'all was the hottest thing walking in that time,
bruh. We was, you know how back in the '80s they had the boom boxes and they were just literally just walking the streets and stuff like that. We was still doing like that. We was doing like that in 1999. Like straight up, just walking
blasting
the block,
blasting
country grammar. Yeah. That was a. But getting back.
Yeah, shout out to the Midwest, though. You know.
Right.
Shout out to Idaho, all that. Yeah. But yeah, man, this film definitely held a lot of dryness, but it was necessary for the plot and where they were. But I got to talk about a comparison, man, that I've seen in this film, man. Every now and then when we review these films, you know, nothing's new under the sun. So it's going to be times where we see things that kind of resemble other films. For me, one thing that I saw, and it was slight, it wasn't like an obvious comparison. To me, I don't know if you saw a comparison with this and Step Brothers, like with the Uncle Rico character. I kind of saw comparisons with Derek from Step Brothers, just like the jerky, older stepbrother, you know, that kind of treated them a certain way. Now, Uncle Rico, he wasn't as much of a douchebag, but it was certain times that I kind of felt that vibe. And it, you know, it kind of drew me towards thinking about the Step Brothers movie and how they kind of had that relationship in that film.
Wow. I didn't think you were going there with it, to be honest. I would have thought that you was going to go with Napoleon and Kip. You know, I got more of at least a sense like that with Kip. I believe Kip is like, you know, in his 30s in this movie. But I don't get that comparison quite with Uncle Rico at all. But
well, I can see that too between Napoleon and Kip, but I don't know, for some reason I think it wasn't like the whole, that's why I said it was kind of like a slight comparison, cuz it's not like that the whole way through, but I feel like when he's first introduced and kind of how Napoleon more so Napoleon, cuz Kip was kind of like he looked up to him. You know, but Napoleon was kind of like standoffish with Rico when he first comes. So that's kind of why I thought about that comparison.
I can get down with that.
Yeah.
Since we on comparisons, though, I might as well bring up a couple myself right now. Let me see. I know this is going to be a crazy one, but part of this reminded me of Pootie Tang. Of all movies, part of this reminded me of Pootie Tang. And that's just in his language. In the way that Napoleon spoke in some of his phrases or whatever. Uh-huh. Some stuff, you know, that, you know, how what Pootie Tang was known for, just saying just made up words, made up phrases.
Yeah.
But let me, let me go into some of the, just two of the phrases that Napoleon had that I was like, I had to look these words up. I mean, at least one of them, because I was like, is that a word? And, you know, he was upset with Uncle Rico at one point, and he told him, why don't you go eat a decroded piece of crap? Whatever. I was like, okay, yeah. is that something? And then later on in the movie, he's fighting with Uncle Rico on the ground. They wrestling or whatever. And he says something like, get off me, you bo-daggit. I was like, is that what phrase... What was that? There might have been something else that I missed, but those are just two things that I saw. I was like, yeah, he's getting this Pootie Tang on right now. Another one.
Hold up. Now, did you look up those words? Did you find anything? Or?
There's nothing. No, it just immediately tells you, oh, this is something that Napoleon Dynamite said. That's what comes up. You know.
Okay.
So yeah. But secondly, in the beginning of the movie, I got a question about this. Because this reminded me of some Billy Madison type stuff. Like, you know, in the beginning of the movie where Napoleon gets on the bus and it's like all little kids. Like, is he, my question is he hitching a ride with elementary school kids to, I don't know, it's like on the way to his high school, or does he go to a school that's K through 12 or something like that?
Yeah, that's one thing I noticed as well. I forgot to bring that up, but yeah, I did notice that. I was like, he looks a little too old to be on this bus with these kids. And then they show him in his regular class. I was expecting maybe to be a mixture of kids, but it's, they kind of look the same age as him at that point. But yeah, they don't really go into too much detail about that, because after that, I think he's shown like getting on the bus, but they don't show the kids he's riding with after that first scene, that initial scene. But yeah, it was kind of, I don't know if that was something they was trying to throw in there to kind of show the, what's the word I'm trying to say? I guess the childishness, or, you know, of Napoleon Dynamite. But yeah, I did notice that as well. It was kind of weird.
Yeah. Like I said, I was running through the theories in my mind. I just thought maybe he, you know, he lived too far out, and the school, high school that he went to, just, you know, they didn't have a route for him, so he just every morning would, hitch a ride on the elementary school bus or whatever, and you know, maybe walk the rest of the way. You know, he stopped at a certain stop, he walks the rest of the way. That's the story that that I'm coming with. You know,
yeah. So. I mean, I'm just gonna assume it was like an all like K through 12 school, because yeah, it wasn't no kid on that bus besides him that looked his age. Like he was the only one.
Did they really have those K through 12 schools? I really was just saying that.
I think so. Well, I know for sure there's I'm pretty sure. I don't know if it goes all the way down to kindergarten, but there are schools where you literally go from elementary through high school. I don't know if they're still around, but that is, or at least was, a thing.
If there are K through 12 schools, I would love to look up what the bullying is like. I would love to
check. Bully dynamic.
Yeah, I would love to check into that, because you just know it's got to be happening. If you're going to have that, maybe that's how people set up the schools. Hey, maybe somebody was smart like that back then and said, you know what, we're going to divide up elementary and middle school and high school like this, because at least a freshman kind of has a chance against a senior. But a sixth grader, hell no. Nah. You know, there's no way. Fourth grade, no. You know, maybe that's the whole secret behind the divide of school. I think I just figured it out, bro. I think I just
like
figured
when it out. When the high school bully, like the 10th grader, is down real bad, he's got to go down to the third grade level and get that third grader's lunch money.
Right. I mean, I just feel, and you saw some of the bullying in this, right? I mean, there was one infamous bully in this movie. I know we go off topic, but well, we still on topic. There was a good amount of bullying going on, just specifically with this one guy. He seemed like he was the only one doing it in the school.
Right.
Like there was not like there was not a single another bully except him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just coming after the same two guys.
Same ones, yep.
You gotta defend yourself, man. You gotta defend yourself.
Yeah, sure.
He winds up getting some defense though later on in the movie. We'll get into that. We could move on.
But man. We kind of spoke on Uncle Rico a little bit in those comparisons, but there's a lot more that can be said about him as a character, man. You know, one thing I noticed about him, I mean, and they kind of showed it throughout the film, Because he was one of those type of guys that couldn't let go. Like, he was in his mind, like, he couldn't let go of his glory days of maybe being the starting quarterback of his high school or whatever. And, you know, you would always catch him outside taping himself, just throwing the ball to absolutely nobody, you know, just reliving those moments in his head, I guess. And, you know, he was definitely a character. He definitely added a lot to this film, in my opinion.
Hey, I think everybody has a little bit of Uncle Rico in them, a little bit where, yeah, with the whole, you know, can't let go, or you got a certain year in mind. I mean, he was talking about 82 so much. Hey, yeah. I be thinking about the year 2002 quite a bit, man. That was I just feel like there's something about the year 2002 that, you know, I still get thoughts of. I mean, I was young and everything, but it was, you know, it was just a simple time, you know, somewhat in your mind. But yeah, Uncle Rico, he was pretty funny. Like you said, those videos that he was doing, I mean, he was setting up videos like he was trying to get a tryout.
Right.
With the NFL. Sorry, but I almost choked. He was setting up those videos like he literally was trying to get a tryout. and it's like the way the video, did he have two videos playing? Or was it just the one pointed to him? Because
I feel like it was just the one, but it was so close to him.
Exactly. It's like we don't see the result of the throw. Like we just see you throwing it. We only gonna see you throwing it. We're not gonna see where it landed. But you know what though? As the more we're talking about Uncle Rico, I'm gonna tell you right now, because he was boasting a lot. He was like, man, how much you want to bet I could throw the football over those mountains? I'm gonna tell you why I believe that he had some true skills with the football, and that he probably would have went state everything. The scene where he throws that steak at Napoleon's face, the precision on that steak throw,
the accuracy,
for a steak. Was so nice. I was like, man, I was like, you made a believer out of me. I believe that.
And he did say, watch this, the kid. Like, he just knew it was gonna land on his face.
Exactly.
He knew it.
He proved it to me. I said, hey, who needs a quarterback? I don't know. Saints, give him a call. give him a call, man. Cause this is 2004. So, but still, I was like, hey, I believe this dude. I think he can throw that football over those mountains, like you said.
Nah, I don't believe he could have did that. I mean, that was impressive, though. That steak throw was impressive. But, you know, I think it's just more so a man just can't. He just couldn't let go of his past, man. But you are right, though, about, you know, this little bit of Uncle Rico and all of us, because there's certain times I do think back on, but it's more so because of maybe the music that was released in that year, or the movies, or right, you know, stuff like that. But he's kind of living in a moment, an exact moment in time where maybe he missed the opportunity, you know.
I mean,
the quarterback he thought he could be.
Yeah, so much so that apparently they went out and tried to buy a time machine.
Yeah.
online to see if they could, you know, go back to 82. And that's when you know you went too far. When you on Amazon and you said, man, I'm getting this time machine finally. And, we're going back.
And it just looked sketchy, too. It didn't even look rigged up, you know? Like, it didn't even look legit.
Yeah, it did look pretty crazy. Side note, I'm just going to give the character props because he was in, you know, one of the funniest shows that I consider of all time. This was Sean in the show Martin, Uncle Rico. So I got to give him his props for that. And secondly, let me go back to that steak toss one time. I remember I was watching maybe an interview or something John Heater, the man who plays Napoleon Dynamite, and they was talking about the scene of the steak toss, and they was talking about how hard he threw it, and it actually he actually threw it for real so hard that it like it, you know, it hit his glasses and it like cut him or whatever. Dang. Yeah, I mean that steak hit some pretty good in the face.
And,
you know, dang, I don't know how
the steak drew blood. That's crazy.
Pretty much. But yeah,
that's wild. And I wonder, not only that, but I wonder if they had to shoot it multiple times to get the right shot. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, who know? I mean, I was hearing that he was just wailing those things, like really, really beaming them at him. So I do believe there was definitely more than one. So yeah, the actor may not be able to throw that football that like that, but the character, though, I believe.
I feel you. I mean, at least you got something to go off of with the steak toss. So I give you that.
Yeah. So Uncle Rico, man, like you said, he's quite a character, man. He basically lives in a van, you know, down by the river, as the joke goes.
Right.
Yeah, he's living out that full size. I think that was a full size van or whatever. We used to want those. We used to want those as a kid. You know,
like one of those love shack type of vans back in the day.
Right. Yeah, he done gutted everything out. He done gutted the seats out from the back and everything. But Uncle Rico, man.
He's a character. I mean, just to kind of further get into Uncle Rico a little bit, you know, you might ask what a guy like him does, you know, for work, things like that. And I thought this was a kind of funny little interaction and kind of how they did this, but he basically sells Tupperware, kind of like one of those pyramid scheme type of things, door-to-door salesman, however you want to call it. And it was just funny to me, the initial recruitment that he did with Kip, you know, and they're like in there at the table, kind of like all secretive, like they're devising a world destruction plan. And Napoleon Dynamite walks in and they're kind of like, you know, like, let's go somewhere more private. And then they end up going to a public bowling alley to discuss the plans further. I thought that was kind of funny how they kind of threw that in there.
I didn't even think about that. I didn't even notice that change like that. I didn't know where they went. I thought it was at just a restaurant. I didn't know there was at a... Oh, never mind. Yeah, they did have the scene where Kip got the, you know, the... bumpers up and everything, and
right.
And hey, you know, as someone who just recently went bowling, I understand. Hey, I'm not hating on anybody who still got to use the bumpers. You know, you do.
Yeah, I mean, me either. I like to, you know, that's just the easy way out, though. You know, even though I know I'm not good at bowling, I got to keep the guards down, man.
Yeah.
You know, whatever score I get, I'm like, I don't really deserve that score. I had the guards up, man.
Yeah, I'm fronting. You definitely won't feel nothing. It's less shame to just throw a gutter to just throw a gutter ball than for somebody to look over next to you in the next lane and realize that you got bumpers up. You know. As a grown man, so
exactly. I was about to say, and at this age that we're at too.
Yeah. So yeah, bumpers sure. Stay down. I take back what I just said. Wow.
But yeah, man. So it brings a question that I gotta ask you. I don't know if you remember me doing this back in the day. You know, I kind of always had a job like growing up, and it was a point where I felt like I was gonna, you know, get some extra money here and there on the side. I got to ask you, man, have you ever been a part of one of those pyramid scheme type of jobs? Because for me, I was doing it for a short stint. I only sold like two or three of them, but I was going door to door doing them vacuum cleaning sales back in the day.
Oh, wow.
Those like super, I forget what they're called, but those like super vacuum cleaners. I was doing that. And we had like the air humidifiers we were selling as well with it. You know, I did it for a short stint, man. You know, it felt good getting those few checks, but at the same time, I was like, it's only so long you can do this, you know, because you're only going to make so much money doing this, you know, over time.
You're giving me a little more insight into your life, Jamel. Like, you're giving me a little more insight. Like, I just immediately imagining you, you know, with the shirt tucked in, with the huge smile on the face. But, like, you know, people, they trying to, you know, they open the door. They immediately see that you got a vacuum cleaner in your hand. They immediately about to shut it on you. You put your hand in the door. Hold on there. You know, tell me, whoa. Let me tell you about the
vacuum cleaner. See, you already got it wrong, because when you're doing those door-to-door sales like that, mm-hmm. you can't show the product right up front, man, you know, because people will be how people are, man. They see what you got, you know, you got to talk it up before you show it. Like, if you got a product right there with you and they open the door, that's an automatic door slammed in your face. So you got to at least, you know, talk it up a little bit, make them want to see the product, you know, before you even bring it to them.
Wow. So now I just got a new visual. So I'm picturing you talking and the vacuum cleaner's behind you and they can't see it. And after you get done with your whole speech, you come out with voila, something like that. And you know, now you're in the house. They didn't even invite you in yet. Now you're inside the house, trying it out. The cord doesn't reach long enough to the wall for this cheap vacuum cleaner that you got. You doing everything with the vacuum cleaner that you're not even supposed to be on. Trying to vacuum the counter, all kinds of stuff. I just got the whole visual of how it just went for you.
You got it all in your head.
Am I right or wrong? Like that. Am I right or wrong?
Nah, you're pretty wrong on that, you know. But just for your satisfaction, I'll let you, if you got more, you continue with the story, you know.
Nah, I'll leave it there, because I do feel like I kind of hit it right on the head. But going back to... going back to Rico, I'm not even gonna lie. I didn't even think of it as a pyramid scheme. I just thought they was getting their Tupperware sell on. But I guess it was. It didn't even come to my mind. But was, you know, trying to show it off to people a little bit. Like, hey, you know, this thing is indestructible. You know, they got their different ways of going about it. You know, Uncle Rico, he was smart about it. He just let a natural man. It was like, try to see if you can break this thing. You know, the man couldn't. But Kip, you know, he went the extra mile and was like, why, you know, watch me drive over this with this full-size van.
That was funny.
Yeah, and obviously that thing, you know, splintered into a million pieces.
He just drove off. He ain't even...
Oh, yeah. You got to at that point. If your product was to just fail on you just right out the gate, what do you do? I mean, if you those vacuum cleaners just blew up on you, you know, while you was there, would you have been like, oh, this almost never happens? Would you have gave a lie like that? Or would you have
You got to at that point.
This is highly irregular. You say it's stuff
right,
dead.
Right. Like, nah, this is the new 2.0 version, you know.
Right,
anytime
right.
you release a brand new version, it has those kinks in it, you know.
Yeah, we just updated our software on the thing,
right.
And you know, okay, I got you on that. I'm learning something.
You gotta find a way. Every now and then you gotta find a way.
I got you.
But yeah, that was to me, that whole chunk there, it was kind of funny how they had those certain scenes and how they both kind of did their own thing, you know, went about it their own way. For you to answer the question, though, you never been like a door-to-door salesman? You never had any type of job like that at all?
No. The only thing I did door-to-door was maybe as a little kid selling Krispy Kreme donuts or something to go on a trip.
Okay.
Nah,
I got you.
Never been.
Got you. Well, you know, you weren't missing out on much. I'd say that.
But I did. There was some intrigue because I do like going to different places and stuff like that and seeing different people. You know, I hate to see the same people all the time. You know, that can be a little bit depressing on some of these jobs and stuff like that. So there is some intrigue with that. Even you had put me on to a movie not too long ago with, what was that, Shia LaBeouf? What was that movie? You remember?
Oh, man.
I'm forgetting. I'm forgetting, but the point is...
I know what you're talking about, though.
Wasn't it like American something? American...
something like that.
I don't know.
I think that is like American honey. I think that is what it was.
Okay, yeah, that probably was it. But yeah, it was just the fact... Yeah, it was something about... It's something about that going to different houses and seeing different people and everything. And you know, you know you're trying to swindle them. Do you really believe in your product when you're a door-to-door salesman? I don't know. Are you really standing? Yeah, I guess you have to. I mean, that's your job. I guess you have to psych yourself up and be like, look.
You got to believe in it. You got to stand behind it. But, I mean, forgive me of my ignorance of this statement, but is that even a thing nowadays? Like, are there still door-to-door salesmen? I mean, I never see that. I
haven't seen it since maybe, yeah, it's been a minute. I want to say since like 2011. It's been a long time since I've seen somebody come, and they usually got maybe, you know, it's either some cleaning solutions or something like that, or I think that was like the main one that I used to always see. But yeah, I guess that thing went out of business. I guess there was like, or maybe they updated. I don't know. You know, social media has gotten bigger. You know, maybe they say, hey, the way of the door-to-door salesman is out. Let me just promote this on social media all day.
That is true. Social media is the new door-to-door. It's everywhere.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Well, we got to hit on a little something in this film, man. You know, believe it or not, for those who haven't seen this film, they do have a love triangle in this film, you know, between Napoleon, his buddy Pedro, and Deb, you know, where she was kind of a door-to-door salesman, too. Like,
right,
when I think about it.
Right.
that was like a thing, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. She was a daughter. I mean, she was selling everything, wasn't she? Wasn't she trying to sell glamour? Right, she was hustling everything. She was trying to sell glamour shots. She had little twist braids or stuff like that. Hey, Napoleon was smart, though. He was like, man, if you don't get this crap up out of here, you know, she was trying to push it on him. He basically was like, yeah, he wasn't hearing it. He was like, oh, yeah, I already got these.
So
nothing was really working. But getting back to that, though, that kind of confused me. Because she was talking about she was trying to earn money for college, right? Through with that? I think all of that was BS because I think she was just tired of it all and she just threw it to him and ran.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming the life of a door-to-door salesman is like miserable because she was like, I got to get out of this. I don't care. I'll just take the loss. Just take it.
Right.
And she just did. But
exactly.
I'm forgetting why we even got on this topic. I'm gonna keep it real. What did
you know about the whole love triangle between those three, though?
Yeah, my bad. We was about to go way down there. Now you got to kind of use the word love loosely because it wasn't really. But I think I believe it starts with Napoleon. I believe he got some type of infatuation with her or whatever, or maybe that's too strong of a word, but
I felt like she more so liked him, right? And he really wasn't like getting it, I guess.
Right. Right.
Till like after a while.
See, and you know what? Yeah, that's how it went down. Yeah, it was, you do kind of get the sense that she was into him, and he just didn't know and wasn't receiving the signals and everything, which goes with his character, of course. But Napoleon, he messed up early, and his friend Pedro swoops in basically, and it's like, hey, Napoleon, you should, you know, you wasted time, you was wasting time, like you missed your chance, and I guess he, you know, wrote a note to her or whatever, you know, because this is all about going to the dance. to this school dance or whatever. And yeah, he missed his chance. Pedro swoops in, you know. Now they're going. And you could tell in Napoleon's voice that he's kind of like appalled when Pedro tells him that he asked Deb. He's like, "What?" And it's like, don't be upset, man. You're like, you didn't pick up on none of the hints.
Yeah, it took too long, way too long.
And Napoleon also has a way of thinking that he's complimenting the women, but it's like really a backhanded insult. Or whatever.
That is one of his talents, for sure.
Yeah. He speaks about his skills and stuff like that in the movie, about not having any skills. That's one of his skills, the backhanded compliment, which, again, really isn't a compliment. But, so just digging more into the so-called love triangle, though. Again, Pedro has asked her to the dance now. But it switches. Pedro, I guess he just don't care. Pedro is lifeless in this movie. He's pretty much lifeless. Like, they get to the dance because at this time, Napoleon, he has another girl that was forced to go with him.
Right.
Her mother forced him to go. First, forced her to go with him. Or whatever. And she winds up ditching him, though, when she gets to the dance. So now it's just Napoleon, Pedro, who is with Deb. But Pedro offers. Pedro's being a good friend, though. He's like, "Hey, you know, you don't have nobody. If you want, you can get a dance with Deb. But Pedro, you just messed up. You just messed up. Because now Napoleon has swooped back in. Because you see they have like a little moment. And his game is a little tighter now than what it was. He's complimenting her on her sleeves and stuff like that. Like, you know, hey, you got some nice sleeves and blah, blah, blah. And they talking a little bit and she even invited him over. I was like, okay. I was like, hey, it just got real.
Swooped in there. But it was crazy because both of them, Napoleon and Pedro, just both oblivious to everything, it seemed like.
Exactly. And it's like, okay.
That was the funny part about it.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, that's pretty much the love triangle. I mean, I believe they end together and you know, it doesn't matter that we're skipping to the end of the movie on with me saying this, but at the end they got a pretty cool little scene at the end. Early on in the movie, it's kind of a funny scene, but you see Napoleon playing what's that game? Tetherball by himself. You remember you remember playing that back in the day, man, on the elementary playground?
Yeah, it brought back memories seeing that.
Right. Now, he was having a little too much fun by himself with that tetherball, though. yes.
Right.
He was hitting it and everything. But he's playing by himself early on in the film on that tetherball. And they bring it back, you know, full circle in the end of the movie. And he's playing that with her.
Him and Deb,
So that was a cool little scene to kind of show like, this is the beginning of a budding romance or whatever between the two. But one thing we neglect to talk about though is how they fell out. They have a fallout, him and Deb.
And that's right.
Rico says something crazy to Deb, I guess, that Napoleon never said.
She calls Napoleon and kind of chews him out for it.
Yeah, calls him like from a phone booth. Were phone booths still happening in 2004? What was the last phone booth? What was the last phone booth that you seen in your life?
It's been a minute. I haven't seen one personally in a while, but I think in 2004 they were still around. I believe
they must have been hanging on by a thread, like the last Blockbuster or whatever. Yeah. That must have been like the phone booth. You know, I'm sure whoever had it probably was advertising it. This is the last phone booth in North America.
It turned into like a historical visiting spot.
Right.
Like people going to see it.
Right. And you know them joints, that joint probably nasty. It's probably so many people trying to use that one phone booth. I can go that route though. But but yeah. The point is though, they had a little fallout over something that Napoleon never said, that Uncle Rico lied on him about. Basically, Uncle Rico was doing some slimy stuff.
He was.
So yeah, just
that's what a door to door salesman would do, man.
I guess. Hey, you got some experience with that, so I'm sure you probably pulled a sucker move on somebody in your day as a door to door salesman. I gotta look back on those years where you was that and wonder and question some of the stuff that you probably said to me back then. And like, damn, I wonder what Jamel trying to get over on me. I don't even know.
Like if I just disappeared out of nowhere, right. I had to go take care of some business,
That's what I'm saying.
Forgive me.
Can't trust a door-to-door salesman, man. That's what I just found out.
That's a fact, man. That's a fact.
But yeah.
That is a fact.
But yeah, now, I'm sorry, you got it.
No, I was just going to talk about something that I found was kind of funny, because in the description of this film, like we talked about in the beginning, this is almost like, is it Seinfeld, where they say the show about nothing?
Yeah, that's
Seinfeld. This is like the movie about nothing, So I found it funny in the description, they harp on Napoleon helping Pedro become class president. Like, that's in the description of the film. But that's like at the end of the film. Like, they don't really, not really a big focus point in this film, So I just thought it was funny how they put that in the description. Like, this Napoleon is trying to help Pedro become class president, but it's not focused on as much. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like it would have been different if that was like throughout the film that were showing them campaign. But it was more so like a small portion at the very end. But with that, I got to speak on the vote for Pedro, because to me, I don't know if you remember this or how it was where you were in that time frame when this movie was released, but it was almost like that was like a trendy thing back then, the whole vote for Pedro thing. I think people had shirts, people was wearing them in school. People would be saying that phrase throughout school. And to me, like, when I think about it now, it's just impressive, because this movie was made literally 1 year after MySpace was created. You know what I'm saying? So that just speaks to how I feel like how trendy this movie would be in today's time if it was released in a social media age.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. But speaking on the campaign part, I wouldn't have voted for Pedro. I'm just going to keep it real. I wouldn't have voted at all, but I definitely wouldn't have voted for Pedro, because Pedro, he didn't have no gusto about him. I was about to use some words. He didn't have nothing about him, man. He was just lifeless. He was just dead inside. Didn't really care, I guess. I'm like, do you really care about the issues at hand? If I vote you in here, what are you gonna do? Like, towards the end, where they're having the what do you call that? Was it a debate? Not a debate. It was just the two candidates talking about what they were gonna do. It was hardly a debate. But,
it was like the final battle or whatever.
I guess. But at the end there, he was going up against Summer or whatever, the popular girl. She was running for class president as well. And at the end of your speech or whatever, you're supposed to have like a skit or something that you're gonna do. And I guess he didn't realize and he didn't know. And he was ready to quit. Like, he came out there with the most monotone, like, lethargic speech possible. And he just, like, walked off with his head down and everything, because he didn't have no skit planned or whatever. And I was like, yo, I was like, who's going to believe in you as a leader, man? Like, come on.
Right.
Like, you got nothing. He just walked off like he knew he lost. But Napoleon came and saved the day, basically.
Yeah, with his little dance routine that he had going.
Yeah, yeah. He came out there and did a little disco, you know, 1-2, 1-2. He did his thing. Yeah, he saved the day, which I don't think that's supposed to how it's supposed to go down. Like, Pedro was supposed to do something, but
hey, right.
You know, it's whatever. It worked.
Nah, yeah, you're right, though. Pedro was, we talked about the dryness of this film at the beginning. He was definitely the driest part of this film. Like, his character, you know, everything that portrays dryness, his character portrayed that for sure.
You spoke on something early on, and you were talking about randomness. That was like your word for the film. I want to go back a little bit to that, because I do feel like there was just random scenes that were happening in this movie. Again, there's like no real plot. You was talking about the synopsis and how they threw that part in. It made sense that they had to throw that in, because again, there's just like no plot, so you got to throw something in there, even though that was like, yeah, like what it's kind of like, what else would you write as a synopsis? There's nothing.
That's true.
So I understood why they had to put that the whole Pedro campaign or whatever. But yeah, they had a quite a, you know, it was boring, but it turned out to be a legendary team up just in movie history.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? Again, I don't know how it happened. I don't know how it worked, but it did. And yeah.
For sure. Matter of fact, before we go in this, let me just read the synopsis right quick, just to paint the picture for the audience. It says, a listless and alienated teenager decides to help his new friend win the class presidency in their small Western high school while he must deal with his bizarre family life back home. And that's it.
Uh-oh. Thank you, Mike.
But I guess that's, that fits, though. That fits perfectly with.
Hey,
but what you see in this film.
Repeat what you said over like the last 10 seconds. I think you may have cut out.
Oh, did I cut out? Did you hear the synopsis?
You was reading it and it started to go out a little bit.
Okay, let me restart it. It says, a listless and alienated teenager decides to help his new friend win the class presidency in their small Western high school while he must deal with his bizarre family life back home. That's pretty much the whole synopsis.
Yeah. Yeah.
It definitely fits.
Yeah, yeah. I can't be upset with that. I got a question.
Sure.
I got a question.
For sure.
That was his grandmother, right? Yeah,
that was his grandmother.
She went to go do her thing or whatever. My whole thing is what happened to his parents?
You're talking about the, which character? I'm sorry.
What happened to the parents?
Like, I don't know. I don't know if they went into detail.
Yeah. I would love to have known what was the deal there. Was it like a Peter Parker situation? I mean, what happened to Peter Parker's parents? You know what I'm saying? We gotta figure out. I got questions on every movie, man. I want to know what happened to the parents. Did they die in the accident?
Mean,
you know what I'm saying? Did they go to war? And now
he's
with grandma. You know,
yeah.
I need to know, man. I got questions.
Yeah, that is something to think about, though. That is something definitely to think about.
But yeah.
For sure.
Also, but, I'm sorry, before we get to that, just the fact that, again, Kip is like in his 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Napoleon can't be no more than 18 because he's in high school.
Mm-hmm.
It was just an interesting dynamic between those two.
Yeah.
Living situation, I guess.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for, yeah, they didn't really delve too deep into like the family dynamic as far as how they ended, you know, in that living situation. So it is interesting to think about.
Hey, you know, some things didn't, they left Pedro out there in the, you know, in the rain pretty much in this movie, man. So Deb pretty much ditches him for Napoleon. And
yeah, pretty much, yeah.
He's pretty much the only one that doesn't end up with somebody. Even Rico. I know you've seen the scene where this woman pulls up on Rico on his bike, and you could tell, like, it's something going on there. Hey, Kip, he had, you know, we neglected to talk about LaFonda. You know,
true.
He did you watch it all the way to the end? Did you watch the movie like all the way through the credits?
Nah, I didn't.
Okay, so you might have missed this. I mean, I don't know if you remember it, but there's an end credit scene where Kip is getting married to LaFonda.
Oh yeah, I missed that. I didn't get to that. I didn't get through the credits. I guess I guess he got his happy ending there, because that was one of the things with his character. They spoke about a little bit how he spends all day on the chat lines, or, you know, in the chat rooms or whatever, basically talking to different women.
Yeah. But how are you going to give everybody a pretty much happy ending and leave Pedro out like that?
Right. And even Rico. I don't know.
Even Rico.
I don't know, though. Unless... his win was winning the presidency of the school. I mean, they don't actually, and that's the thing, they never really announced who won, but I guess going off the crowd's reaction, you have to assume that Pedro won. So maybe that was the win for Pedro, and winning the class presidency.
Yeah, I believe he definitely won. It's just they don't show nothing. They say, okay, we're done with Pedro. I don't know.
That bothered me. Yeah, so, I mean, everybody won in their own, I guess, individual way. I guess kind of turned out all right for everybody in the end. But, yeah, man, I mean, just to go ahead and get into the ratings and stuff like that, man, for me, I got to say this film, it's just a weird film, man. I mean, I can watch it, you know, even though it's, it has that boring factor to it. It doesn't really have a plot, but I can still watch this film. I feel like it's almost like one of a kind. I think that's what makes it so special. And the fact that I still feel like if it was created in today's time, this movie would be trendy, like everywhere, you know, shirts, you know, the way that he speaks. I mean, people would be taking endless phrases from this film, posting it all over. And even still, to speak to that, every now and then I see people post Napoleon Dynamite dancing, you know, at the end. Or, you know, every now and then you might see a vote for Pedro meme or something still floating out around there somewhere, you know. So that just speaks to, I guess, the cult following and also what this film did at that time. So I said all that to pretty much say I'm going to give it a 3 rewind rating for myself. So.
Hey, all right.
Yep.
And I'm surprised to be giving it higher than you, man. I'm going with a 3.75. Okay. It was boring. It was, it was all the negative qualities that I could give it, yet somehow it still... it's still kind of watchable. Kind of watchable. I can see the appeal that people got behind it somehow. A lot of it is due to the title character. If it, you know, again, you know, my word for the movie was quirky. You know, this was a very quirky character, you know, from his mouth breathing to the style of clothes that he had, to the way that he talked. Had it not been for Napoleon Dynamite, I probably would have had this movie at a .5 or whatever. But his character, I don't know. I guess it was interesting enough or boring enough. It's just hard to evaluate this thing, but I'm going with a 3.75.
Okay. You know, okay. It's respectable. So it passed the test for both of us.
Pretty much, man. Like I said, there was a lot going on in this movie. Oh yeah, I want to bring up one more thing, man. Again, dealing with like the bully and everything, and the little boy that was getting bullied. Pedro, he came with his own little entourage and everything. You know, he had the Breaking Bad brothers in there, man. The Breaking Bad twins, you know.
Yeah.
I forget their names, but if they even had names, but apparently that came with voting for Pedro. I didn't know where he got
protection.
Yeah, I didn't know where he stood on all the issues, but he at least said, "Hey, you're not gonna get bullied if you vote for me." And
right. You know,
so
that was at least he came with something. He had that package to it.
Right, yeah. Summer was just all talk, but Pedro said, "Hey, I got muscle behind me. I got two right. thumb breakers, so we can get it in." But yeah, exactly. That's it.
Well, yeah, man. I believe that's pretty much it for this film. I encourage, because it's 2004. You know, it's one of those cult films. If you haven't seen this film, definitely check it out. I think you would weirdly enjoy it for what it is. So I recommend it to all our listeners. Go back and check this one out.
Right. And to end this, you know, we're just going to let you know the next movie that we're going to be playing is the 2001, The Fast and the Furious. We going there.
Where it all started.
Before they
got out of hand.
Right. Yeah, stuff definitely went a little crazy. So we'll keep it tame. 2001, The Fast and the Furious. We're not going to play the trailer. I wanted to, but the trailer is so, there's like no words. It's just all engine revving and music playing, rock music playing in the background. There's like no words. So I was like, I'm not even pulling this trailer because nobody's going to know nothing that's going on.
Right.
But that's what we're leaving with y'all. We appreciate y'all listening. Again, we thank you. And, we hope you enjoy. All right. Peace.
Peace.